All right, Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 8. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus, and it says, "Wherefore he saith," he's quoting from the Psalms here, "when he ascended up on high," when Christ ascended up on high, "he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Verse 11, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, Christ Jesus has a body. He has a body. God the Father gave Christ a people before the foundation of the world that he would be glorified in. This was a people that Christ would be glorified in. That was God the Father's purpose of giving the people to Christ, was that Christ would be glorified in them. This was being glorified in this people, in the salvation of this people. This was the joy that was set before Christ. We read about that in Hebrews 12. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And this was that joy that was set before him, being glorified in the salvation of this people. The people is the people that he purchased with his own blood. We read that in Ephesians 1:14. It's his purchased possession. He bought them. He bought them with his blood. And each member, we're told in Isaiah 53, is the travail of his soul. Just like a woman travails with child. That cross was the travail of his soul. And by the cross, he brought these children into birth before God, being redeemed, justified before God. They're the travail of his soul, each individual member of this body. And each one is the reward from God to him for his humility and for his suffering. This is his reward that he will have each member of this body. Each member of this body makes up the fullness of Christ. The fullness of him. This is one of the most assuring words you'll find in all of the scriptures. It's the most assuring word for believers because it says in Ephesians 1:22, God the Father gave him to be the head over all things to the church, and that church is his body, the fullness of him which filleth all in all. Now that means that Christ will not lose one member of his body. He will not lose one child that God gave him, that he died for, that he purchased, that he'll be glorified in, that he travailed for. He won't lose one. God the Father gave them to him to be glorified in, and he shall be. He shall be. Christ satisfied divine justice for each and every one when he died. It's why we're justified by Christ, when he by himself purged our sins. That means that not one of them can be condemned a second time to hell, because that would make God unjust. That would be double jeopardy. Their court case has been settled, and they cannot be tried again for the same crimes. And Christ has the power, and he will see to it that each one of his children are called and brought to faith in Christ and kept and saved by him. He will do that. Now, each of us has a body. And each of us has members in our body. Each one of us. And our members, each member of our body, do somewhat contribute to the well-being of the whole body. That's true of believers. But let me ask you a question. Is anybody here dependent on your little finger to save you? Is anybody here dependent on your little finger to save all the members of your body? Well, Christ is not dependent on me or you. We're the little finger. And he's not dependent on any one of us to save his body. He's the head. He's the head. If you had power to keep one member of your body from being chopped off, would you do it? Well, Christ has the power. He has the power to keep even the least member of his body from being severed from the body. And he won't allow it. He just won't allow it. Our text teaches us that Christ shall call and he shall save his people through the means of gospel preaching, through gospel preaching that Christ himself provides. This is as much Christ's glory as was his work on the cross. He is the head of the church, his body. and he fills all in all. Now, first of all, we're told that Christ himself is the one who provides his ministers. Verse 11 says, and he gave, and he gave, and he still does. We read there in verse 13, he's going to keep doing this till we all come in the unity of the faith. He's going to keep doing this till all his sheep are called into the fold of faith. He's going to provide preachers. Now, all prophecy is written concerning Christ. Everything the Old Testament wrote is concerning him. He said, they are they which testify of me. He expounded all the things from Moses, all the way through the law and the prophets, through the Psalms, things concerning himself. This book concerns him, the whole thing. That means everything in that Old Testament scripture that was prophesied, he must fulfill it, and he shall fulfill it. Jeremiah 3:15 is one of those prophecies, and it says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, and they shall feed you with knowledge and understanding, not with lies, not with falsehood, not with half-truths, with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 23:4 says, I will set up shepherds over you, and which shall feed them. I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. Christ is the chief shepherd, and his preachers are under-shepherds. And he said, I'll set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. Now, concerning this gospel age in which we live, this was what Isaiah the prophet wrote. He said in Isaiah 30, verse 20, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. They will not be removed, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Now that's the promise. He will provide his ministers. Christ will. And so our text reads, he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, apostles were the first and chief office in the church. These were men who were called by Christ, directly by Christ. And they had their doctrine directly from him, taught them in person, face to face. And they had power given to them from Christ to work miracles that other men in the church did not have, because the New Testament was being written by these men. And so he gave them power, not only to preach the gospel, to back it up with miracles. Hebrews 2 says, God bearing them witness with signs and wonders. He did that it might be manifest these men were from God. Now, that office doesn't exist. Those powers don't exist anymore. If you hear somebody talking about they have power to heal and power to speak in languages they've never learned before, that's what tongues is. If you hear somebody saying that, it's not so. Those gifts don't exist. And then he gave prophets. These had a particular gift to interpret Scripture, to interpret the Old Testament Scripture, particularly prophecy. And they had a gift to tell future things. Agabus was a prophet. We read about him in Acts 11. And then Christ gave evangelists. Now, he's still giving these. These are traveling missionaries. Tuesday night, 7:30, right here, Cody Groover. He's an evangelist. He's a missionary. We're going to hear from one of Christ's missionaries. He gave pastors and teachers. Every pastor is a teacher of the Scriptures. But not all teachers in the church are pastors. Pastors are the shepherds of the flock. Teachers are those Christ provides gifts that can teach and preach the gospel, who help the pastor. Now, Christ gives those. He gives the gifts that they have, and he gives them. He provides them. Now, why does he do it? Well, secondly, we're told Christ gives his ministers, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. This doesn't mean that believers will grow to be perfect. That's not what it means. Paul was an old believer when he said, I'm the chief of sinners. We're not going to grow to be perfect in ourselves. We're sinners. That's what we are. The old man is what it is and will be what it is till we go back to the dust. Christ creates a new man within us. And in that new man, we're created in righteousness and holiness, but not in the old man. The old man's sin. What it means here is, whom Paul said, whom we preach. we preach Christ, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. There's where our perfection is, in Christ Jesus. The word perfecting means restoring. It means restoring. It means setting a dislocated joint. Bones get all out of joint. It means setting those bones back together, like a surgeon sets a dislocated shoulder. Now, each member of Christ's body, every one of these children that Christ came to be glorified in, we became dislocated from the body when we sinned in Adam in the garden. We all went out of the way. We became dislocated in ourselves from the body. It's Christ's job to restore the members, to bring them back together. All God's elect, all Christ redeemed, every one of us, in our lost and dead condition, is the valley of dry bones. That's what we are. Turn over to Ezekiel 37. The Lord used this to illustrate just what I'm declaring to you now. And I want you to see this. It'll help you. It's exactly what we're declaring. It's exactly what our gospel is and exactly how Christ works through the gospel. He says here in Ezekiel 37:1, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones. And He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." You get the picture? It's this old white, parched, dead, dry, very, very dry bones. "And He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. And again He said unto me, Prophesy." It means preach. He said, "Preach upon these bones, and say unto them." Now listen to this. This is what the Lord said. "Say this to these dry, dead bones. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." You're going to go tell dry bones to hear? They're dead, dry bones. This is what the Lord told him to say. "Say, hear, ye dry bones, the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live." God said, "I will, and you shall. I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you." I was just thinking of this. You know, you talk about the Spirit of grace working in the heart, the calling of the Holy Spirit being irresistible. And He does this work, and a man can't resist it. I'll give you a good illustration. It's an illustration right here. A man stops breathing. He completely stops breathing. His heart stops beating. And they electrocute that man, they shock that man, and they give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Does that man have any will in him to stop himself from breathing? No, he's going to start breathing. He can't resist it. He's going to start breathing. That's what He said. "I'll cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I'll bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." Now that's our gospel. That's our gospel. You see, I go and I sit here and preach, and I say, "Hear, ye dry bones." And then I tell you what God says He's going to do. That's our message. That's our message. And now watch this. Verse 7. "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, I preached, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone." That's what this word perfecting means. Restoring the bone. Setting the bone. "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me," that, you know, the Lord, he's going to assemble his people to hear the gospel. And there are a lot of people come to hear the gospel and they're dead. They're still dead. Who brought them? Christ brought them. He brought them. But now look, he's going to give them life too. Watch. "And when I beheld," look here, verse 9, "then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind." This is the second part of the ministry. Pray for God to bless the Word. Pray for the Holy Spirit to bless the Word. Remember Peter said we'll give ourselves to the Word and prayer. To preaching the Gospel and praying God. This is what he said. Preach this Word to them and then pray God bless the Word. Look, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, "Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They represent all my people, my elect from among the Jew and the Gentile. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. They say this. They say there's no hope for us. We're lost. We're dry bones. We can't be assembled. We can't be saved. Therefore, preach and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves. That's what we are. We're dead men walking. We're walking around in our graves. God said, I will open your graves, and I will cause you to come up out of your graves, and I'll bring you into the land of Israel, into his heavenly Jerusalem, his church, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I've opened your graves. This is when you're going to know God is really God. Why do I preach what I preach? Men will say, this is the foolish, most foolish thing I've ever heard in my life. Why in the world would a man dedicate his life to preaching this? I've experienced it. That's why. And you won't believe it till you've experienced it. You'll go on and say, and this is just foolishness, and you'll die and go to hell that way, unless God has mercy on you. Yet you are at the mercy of God, like it or not. Every man is. Every man is. He says, and when I've opened your graves, O my people, and when I've brought you up out of your graves, and when I shall put my spirit in you, you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, saith the Lord. You see, the preacher has no power to do this. I don't blame folks for not wanting to come to church. I don't blame them for that. Churches, preachers are the main ones to blame. Preachers have exercised a so-called authority they don't have. They can't affect this work. They can't make men. They can clean up the outside of the cup with rules and regulations and morals and things like that. But they can't give a man a new heart. They can't put breath in him, spiritual life in him. And because of that, Paul said, in these days that we live in now, he said, you know what people are going to say? That truth is going to be evil spoken of. When they hear the truth of God, which I'm telling you now, they're going to count it just like the rest of the garbage out there and say, it's all just foolishness to me. Because they've been whipped and beat and used and bruised and their pockets have been emptied from harlotin, no good, sorry preacher. Preacher can't do this. He can't. Christ sets the members in his body through the word he speaks effectually in the heart, through the Holy Spirit, through his preacher preaching, thus saith the Lord. The scripture says, now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Now, if we will repair our bodily health, we get sick, and we're going to repair our bodily health. Where do we go? We go to the doctor. And when we go to the doctor, we hear what the doctor says, and we do what the doctor says. We follow the doctor's orders. And we don't expect that we're going to get well necessarily on the first trip to the doctor. We got to go back again, and we go back again, and we go back again, and we keep doing what the doctor tells us to do. The great physician is the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is the means he has ordained for the saving of his people, the preaching of the gospel. And he says, here, 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 here. Well, I can't hear. He says, tell them, here, here. Keep coming and keep hearing. Keep coming and keep hearing. If you can assemble as a dry bone, it's because he's going to bring you together. And if you can believe, it's because he's going to put life in you. This works his work to do. As many as ordained to eternal life shall believe. They shall. All right, here's the third thing. He tells us Christ gives his ministers for the work of the ministry. Verse 12 says, for the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? The work of the ministry. First of all, is to preach the gospel to the lost. Turn to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Some men say, well, if you believe people are elected unto salvation, why do you even preach? Why don't you just preach to the elect? We would if we knew who they were, but we don't know who they are. There may be some sitting here today that are lost and don't know God from a hole in the ground. but they might be elect. And if they are, and if this is the season of His love, you're going to hear the gospel today. I mean, hear it in the heart that He's made new. So we preach the gospel for the elect's sake. We don't know who they are. 2 Timothy 2:10. Paul said, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake." You know, preaching is not pleasant. It's not all roses. There's a lot of things you have to endure. He said, "And I endure these for the elect's sake." Why? That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We preach. This is the work of the ministry. We preach to the lost that the elect of God may obtain eternal salvation in Christ. Now, secondly, the work is to oversee the church. Look at 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, and look at verse 1. Peter says, "The elders which are among you," he's speaking here to the preachers, "the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." Just do it. Just take the oversight of them. Look over them, feed them. Taking the oversight, not by constraint, not because you think you're going to get something by doing it, not because you've got to be forced to do it, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, not for a vain reward, not for money, not for all the things that prestige and glory and the things that men go into the ministry for. Make it a vocation. An occupation. He said, "But of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage." Now, there's one Lord. There's one master. And I'm not that master. I'm not that Lord. I can't affect any of this. I can't make any of this happen. I can't even make you come here. Much less make you hear. Much less make you believe. So why do I want to try to lord over you? I can't do that. And he says, "But being examples to the flock." Here's what I can do. I can trust God. I can believe God. And I can do as God's commanded me and just preach His Word to you. And in that, I can be an example to you. To wait on God. To trust that God will do it. What I do when my brother or my sister's out of the way and they're not acting like they ought to act and they're about to forsake the gospel. I know I'm going to follow the example of my pastor. I'm going to preach the gospel to them. I'm going to tell them the truth of Christ. And I'm going to pray to God to save them. And I'm going to wait on God to do it. Verse 4, he says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," "you shall receive a crown of glory." That's our crown. Glory with Christ. Glory with Christ. That's all we all are wanting. Glory with Christ. Here's the third thing it is to teach all things Christ has commanded. Now, I'll just give you this in Matthew 28, verse 19. He said, "Go therefore into all the nations." He said, "All power in heaven and earth is mine." He says, "Go therefore into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." Teaching them. This is what comes before the baptized. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always. Christ preachers don't have any private doctrine. Preachers will say this. Preachers will say, what you preach, I don't preach that from the pulpit. Now, I may say it to sinners individually. Once believers who he knows are not going to be offended by it, he may talk about the doctrine of election too. But he said, "I'm not going to get up and talk about that in front of everybody, because if he does, it'll be offensive. And men will leave. And he'll lose his money. And he'll lose his house. And he'll lose his car. And he'll lose the church. And he'll lose all the marketing crap that he's using to get people to come to the church." And he said, "That's why I don't do it." But God's preachers don't have private doctrine. We don't have doctrine we tell to some people, not to others. We preach the same thing to everybody. Christ said, "Say everything I've said." Christ commands us, look at Matthew 15. Christ commands us to teach that sin's in the heart. Sin's a heart matter. It's the very nature that's corrupt in a man. This is the problem that men aren't being taught. They're not being taught they're depraved completely, totally, thoroughly. They're not being told they're dry bones. They're not being told they can do nothing. Men aren't being told this. And so men think that all that salvation is cleaning up the outside of the cup, turning over a new leaf, getting some morality about you, watching Andy Griffith and learning some good morals and learning how to live. Your mama and your daddy, I hope, taught you that. And I think Scripture says we know that in our heart by nature. You know stealing somebody else's chicken is wrong by nature. That's why you hide when you do it. But look, this is what Christ said to teach. Matthew 15:8. The people, these people were teaching men. They were teachers. They were teaching sinners to live moral. They were teaching men what men teach today. And Christ was offended by what they left out. It's not the moral living that's wrong. It's what they left out. Look here, Matthew 15:8. He said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." They're teaching man-made commandments as my doctrine. And he called, and he said this, he called the multitude, and he said unto them, "Hear and understand, not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, that defiles a man." And then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" These preachers got offended at you. These preachers have been to seminary. They know how to preach now. And Christ said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. They shall be rooted up." He said, "And let them alone." Woo! What? He didn't say go in there and try to proselyte them. He said don't go in there and try to convert them. Leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And then answered Peter and said unto him, "Declare unto us this parable." And Jesus said, "Are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth, it goes in the belly and it goes out in the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart." They come from the heart. And they defile the man. You see, the source of the defilement is the heart. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, and murders, and adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands, that don't defile a man." And that's what men are being taught. Don't drink this. Oh, boy, don't eat, don't drink, don't chew, and don't hang around with girls that do. That's what folks are being taught. That's not what defiles a man. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is given a new heart. Men made a new creature by Christ the Lord. And Christ told Nicodemus, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit." You can't do this. Christ has to do it. He said you must be born again. And Christ commands us to teach this, Matthew 5. Look here, Matthew 5. He commands us to preach that Christ alone came to fulfill the law because we must have Christ for our righteousness. He said, verse 17, "Think not that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill." To fulfill. It doesn't say there, I came to fill them up just a little ways so you can fill them up the rest of the way. That's not what it said. It says, "I came to fill the law full." And he says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, one dot and one crossing of the T shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." God's righteous. He demands his law be magnified and honored. And we couldn't do this. This is why Christ came. He came to do it. I will be pleased with his righteousness. He shall magnify and honor the law. He says, "Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven." All the saints in heaven are going to be describing men that are in hell who taught false doctrine. They're going to be describing them as the least, the very least, because they will be. Because here's what they do. They teach men that you can keep the law. And to teach that a man can keep the law, here's what you have to do. This is a necessity. You have to bring the law down to a level that a man can keep it. Brother Henry used to say, "I can jump over a barn if you let me build the barn." And that's what men are doing. They're building a law for themselves. They're teaching commandments of men, saying, you can keep this. They were teaching murders just outward in the act. Murders in the heart. They were teaching adultery just outward in the act. Christ said, if you so much as look on a woman, you've committed adultery. You mean it's that bad? Can you control your thoughts? How about your dreams? Broke it. You mean I break the law in my dreams? You break the law in your dreams. At night when you're sleeping. That's right. Christ came. He said this, but whosoever shall do and teach, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of God. How are you going to do the law and teach the law? If we can't do the law, how are we going to do it and teach it? We're going to do that one way we can, believing on Christ. I'm going to believe on Christ myself, and I'm going to teach you to believe on Christ. That's how we establish the whole law of God, because Christ did it. Christ kept it. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. And I've heard men preach that and say, so see there, you gotta work harder and be better than the Pharisees. That ain't what Christ is saying. He's saying he's the one that exceeds. He's the righteousness that exceeds. And we gotta have him. We gotta have him. And Christ said he came to do this work for his sheep. I won't have you turn there, but in John 10:15, he said, I laid down my life for the sheep. For the sheep. And he said, and other sheep I have that are not just in this fold in Israel, they're going to be brought. And there's going to be one fold and one shepherd. And Jesus was in the temple in Solomon's porch. And some men came to him and they said what men always say. They blame God. Why do you keep making us to doubt? Why don't you tell us plainly who you are? And Christ said, I've told you plainly. And he said, the works that I do bear witness of who I am. And he said this. He said that he looked them right in the face and he said, you believe not because you are not of my sheep. He looked him right in the face and he said, not everybody's my sheep. You're not. You're not. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, that's not fair that he's going to keep some out of heaven. He's not keeping anybody out of heaven. He's not keeping anybody out of heaven that wants to go to heaven. Will one day come to me and he was all upset because he said, Daddy, Emma won't let me in her room. She's holding me out. She's locking me out of her room. And I said, Will, do you want to go in her room? And nothing in there but a bunch of girl stuff. And he said, well, no, I don't want to go in there, but I don't want to be told I can't go in there. That's what folks think the doctrine of election is, that we're telling you you can't go in. No, the doctrine of election opens up glory because without it, without Christ doing the work, there would be no entrance at all. You see, those that are not believing on Christ, they don't want to believe on Christ. They don't want to go to heaven. They don't want to have anything to do with God, period. The natural man's enmity against God. He hates God. He says, don't turn on that message. I don't want to hear it. Don't put out them bulletins in front of me. I don't want to hear it. I hate God. I hate God. That's what the natural man says in his heart while he's talking about blessed this and blessed that and have a blessed day. This is what Christ, we teach, we preach this because, why do we preach that Christ laid down his life for the sheep? Because it means Christ laid down his life for particular people and he accomplished the salvation of, it makes Christ to be the successful Savior. We don't put it in man's hands and say, you got to make his death a success by your work. No, we tell you, Christ did it. Christ did it. And he's going to take this message and these dry bones that hate him and won't listen and won't hear, he's going to breathe life into them and they're going to believe. And then they're going to know, this is my God. He's done this. And lastly, he said he gave his ministers for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is what we're doing. We're not trying to scatter sheep. We're trying to edify Christ's body. And he said, comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Tell them that our warfare is accomplished. The Lord has accomplished the warfare for his people. This is my gospel. It's finished. The work's done. The work's finished. Religion, false religion, is do-do religion. Paul called it done, and it is. It's do-do religion. They say, do this, do that, do this, do that, do that. You always got to be doing. My message is, it's done. Christ has finished the work. It's done. And that's a precious pearl right there. That's a wonderful message. It's done. He said, I've rewarded them double for all their iniquity. The rain comes down from heaven. That's where it comes from. And it goes into the river, and it goes out, and it waters everything, and then it goes back from whence it came. We're edifying Christ's body. Where do we get the word, the rain? It comes from Christ. It comes down, and it goes into His people, and that's how it edifies His body, and by that it returns right back to Christ, just like the rain, and it won't return to Him void. Paul said, we got to preach Christ and preach Him only because He's the head of the body. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. In all things. Because it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness dwell. He's the fullness. And God is pleased that He have all the preeminence. Why do you preach Christ all the time? God is pleased that He have all the preeminence. And He said, and this is why I've been called. This is why I bear suffering for the body's sake. For the elect's sake. This is why I'm doing it. And He said, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you're complete in Him. Have you heard that message before? You ever heard that message? You ever heard the Pope preach this? You ever heard that one who calls himself the co-mediator with Christ preach this? You won't hear him preach this. You ever hear a preacher who calls himself a Baptist preacher? The great Southern Baptist preacher, you ever hear him preach, salvation is entirely of the Lord. Not of the Lord plus you doing something, all of the Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that word complete. They're the same word. Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Him. Believers are as complete as Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It don't get more complete than that. And we can just lay back and rest and serve Him if we want to. Enjoy Him. Tell others about Him. And trust Him to deliver us to glory. Oh, man. What if you were in the prime of your life and all of a sudden somebody came to you and they said, you can quit your job today. I'll provide everything for you. I'll pay all your bills. I'll pay off your house. I'll pay your mortgage. I'll pay everything for you. And you can do the work you want to do from then on. I bet everybody would take them up on that. And yet we won't do it when God says it. He'll make His people willing in the day of His power. Amen.